It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our bodies.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Pamela, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday, producer Joe.
Happy Thursday, Kim.
Big show planned for everybody today as well. We've been working like crazy on all that we're doing here. And it is so important because we're shedding light and truth on these issues. And we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It's not compassionate to take other people's stuff. And that could be their rights, property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, or lives. Force can be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation. That's a big one. The World Economic Forum's agenda, the globalist elites, the United Nations. And I added them in after we had Josh Phillip on. He'd been down to the Darien Gap in Panama. And there's a number of NGOs, non-governmental organizations that are living off of our tax dollars, but also the United Nations was down there organizing these caravans to come up to of migrants, illegal immigrants to come to into our country. The Colorado State Legislature, as we look at the different bills that are being proposed and voted on, and the Colorado governor, it is up to him to veto these firearms bills that get to his desk. And so we'll stay tuned on that. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com, and sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. Text line is 720-605-0647. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Did want to say thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. Reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant power from oil, natural gas, and coal powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. And that whole industry is under regulatory and legislative attack here in Colorado. And you just have to question, why would they really be attacking reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant power? And we've got to take this narrative. Calling wind and solar clean energy is disingenuous. And it's highly subsidized. If wind and solar work without all of these economic prop-ups, that's great, but that doesn't right now. But the other thing that they're not being honest about is the clean component. What happens to all of those wind turbines when they're no longer usable? What happens with those? What about, we heard about this huge hailstorm, I think it was down in Texas, where many of the solar panels were destroyed, and there's all kinds of chemicals in those solar panels that then could make the land underneath toxic. So we have to look at the whole picture while we're talking about that. And we have to question why here in Colorado, this legislature and this governor is trying to put our oil and gas industry out of business. And so we continue to shed light on that on a regular basis. Last night, the girls were over, and so I did partake in the Hooters special. Buy 20 wings, get an additional 10 for free. We did the boneless wings last night, and Hooters restaurants, how I got to know them is a really important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism, and PBI is trying to use their power to pick winners and losers. And so Hooters Restaurants has 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday. And of course, Wednesdays, they have their wing special. Let's see. Next thing I'm going to get to, and I think Eric mentioned this word to me, a word of the day, a little while ago. And I think he said derelict, but I went to dereliction. And it's a noun. It's a willful neglect as of duty or principle, the act of abandoning or abandonment, or a state of abandonment or neglect. And the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party have their attitude towards our U.S. Constitution and the American people is really a dereliction of their duty, because they're focused on an agenda that will undercut everyday hardworking people, undercut the American idea, and it is a real dereliction of duty. Our quote of the day is from Herbert Hoover. He was born in 1874, and he died in 1964. And he was an American politician. They said he was a humanitarian. He was our 31st president. And he was a member of the Republican Party, and he held office during the onset of the Great Depression. And he said this. He said, "Our strength lies in spiritual concepts. It lies in public sensitivities to evil. Our greatest danger is not from invading armies. Our dangers are that we may commit suicide from within by complacence with evil or by public tolerance of scandalous behavior." And I thought that was a super appropriate quote today, because in the second hour, our featured guest is Ellen Danik. And we had her on recently, just a very short interview. She is with the Dems for Informed Approach. And she is being censored by the Denver Democrat Party because she is speaking out regarding this transgender, radical activist transgender attack upon our children. And so I thought, again, that quote from Herbert Hoover was very appropriate. Our bill of the day that I chose is House Bill 24-1434. Prime sponsor is Representative Shannon Byrd. It is to expand the affordable housing tax credit. And anytime you are expanding a tax credit like this, it actually puts in place what will be cronyism. And so we see this whole attack upon private home ownership through regulatory actions, as well as from different policies out there on the local, county, state, and national level. And so, in fact, if you're issuing tax credits, the bottom line is that taxes are too high. So in essence, we should lower taxes across the board for everyone. But when you do this, you have government stepping in and trying to pick winners and losers. And so what will happen is there will be developers who will step forward. They will be chosen to get this tax credit. They'll pay less in taxes. Everybody else pays more. And then also that picks winners and losers in housing. There's people that will get subsidies because affordable, basically the other term of that is subsidized. So it's to expand the subsidized housing tax credit. And we see whenever government gets into things, the supply typically goes down, the quality goes down, and the costs go up overall. And so, of course, we are recommending a no vote on this particular thing because we need to lower taxes across the board. And again, that's House Bill 24-1434. Let's see, several different headlines that I wanted to mention to you. First of all, this whole thing regarding our this wolf reintroduction. And this was from, let me get to it, I think it was Colorado Politics, but let me just make sure. I'm having a little trouble with the computer here. Anyway, we've had our first kill of a little calf up in Grand County by a wolf. And this is a direct assault upon our food supply. And I've got to do some research. One of the girls last night said that they were on a field trip at the Colorado History Museum, had all these little kids and talking about water, the importance of water. And it came down to, at the very end, that if you want to help conserve water, don't eat beef. Well, beef and lamb and pork, all of those are very dense protein sources for humans. And one has to ask why on Earth are they trying to reduce our beef consumption? And so we need to continue to shed light on this. And it's really unbelievable. Next thing I wanted to mention, and Natalie Minton has a video out on this, and it's called No Kids, No Tax Refund. Bill in the Colorado Legislature would rob you of your tax refund. And this, again, is another tax credit. It's House Bill 24-1311. The prime sponsors are Representative DeGruy Kennedy and Representative Wilford, Senator Faith Winter, and Senator James Coleman, all Democrats. And I love the fact that it appears that it's pro-family. But once again, it's not government's role to pick winners and losers, to give one person a tax credit and the other not. The goal should be to lower taxes across the board. And so, Joe, I wanted to bring you in on this. You and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. When you and Luke were on the other day, we were talking about employees, wanting to get raises. And I thought a lot about after that. And one of the first places that we could start to put more money in employees' pockets is to reduce taxes. And I think that we don't think about that much. They always look to the employer and say, gosh, you know, it would be great if employers would raise, you know, the pay for employees. You see that playing out in California right now with the $20 minimum wage hike, up to $20 an hour for minimum wage. And you're seeing businesses close. So those people that thought they were going to be paid more money don't have a job. So how about if we start to lower taxes? Joe, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great place to start, but I think we are going to have to do several things to really reform this and make sure that, you know, every worker gets his fair share instead of it, a good chunk of it being taken every time for no reason, it feels like.
Well, and that term fair share, you know, that's one of those words that we hear on a regular basis. And what I really would recommend, first of all, is I think we need to lower taxes so that right there people have more money in their pocket. But I think that employees need to realize that it's a contract between the two. The employer contracts at a certain price, says, I will pay you for this particular job. The employee makes that choice, says, okay. And if in fact an employee, you know, works hard, improves, you know, really steps it up, then it's going to be automatic that they're going to start to make more money because they become more and more valuable to the employer. And so I think that's one of the things that we need to remember is make yourself more and more valuable to your employer. And ultimately, you will also get raises and work up the ladder as well. And so that's so we see that again playing out in California with this forced $20 minimum wage, that instead of people, there will be a few people that will make more money, but there will be people that will lose their jobs. Businesses will close, businesses will automate. And so government needs to stay out of that, and government needs to quit picking winners and losers, and we need to lower taxes across the board. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger knows that there's a lot going on out there and that life can be challenging. So it's their mission to maximize your financial security as you manage the risks of everyday life. So call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for more information. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. for personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. As you know, one of the nonprofits I dearly love is the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising money to do the remodel of the Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax. And they're going to have a golf tournament Thursday, May 16th. And it will be in partnership with NFL alumni and out at the Ridge at Castle Pines North. And so go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org for more information. Organize your foursome, or you can be an individual golfer. All that information is at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I'm so pleased to have on the line with me Rob Nadelson. You know him. He is a constitutional expert, a former constitutional professor. Much of his work has been cited all the way up to the Supreme Court. He's written a book, The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant. Rob Nadelson, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here with you, Kim. How are you?
I am doing well. And this is such an important discussion. You have written a number of pieces, and people can find them. They initially, I think, were published at the Epoch Times, but you can find them over at the Independence Institute as well, correct?
Yeah. You just go to independenceinstitute.org, and you'll see a tab there for issues, and go to the Constitution page. And everything I write eventually winds up there, although there's sometimes a delay because the Epoch Times wants to have an exclusive on my column for a week, which makes a lot of sense.
Kim, sure. Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Well, this piece that, and we've talked a little bit about this, but with this invasion of illegal immigrants coming across our borders, and then children that are born to people that have come into the country illegally, they're called anchor babies, and you've got an interesting perspective on this. So where do you want to start on it?
Let's start with the whole question of what this mass immigration is, and for constitutional purposes. And also let's look at it from the perspective of the state of Texas, which of course is bearing the brunt of it, although ultimately we all are. And then we can go to the anchor baby part at the end, because that kind of segues from the initial discussion.
Okay. Well, and last night, actually at my wine on top, as the girls came over, the presenter was John Fabricatori, who is a candidate for, I think it's Congressional District 6, to unseat Jason Crow. And John is a former director of ICE. But ultimately, we were all talking about it. This invasion of all these people coming in ultimately could affect our elections, because our House of Representatives is based on population. Do you think that that's an end game on this whole thing?
I don't know what the end game is. It certainly is extraordinary not defending the border. I mean, the only historical analogy I can think of is the decision of the later Roman Empire to admit hordes of barbarians, what they called barbarians, Germanic tribes, into the border of the empire. And that was largely dictated by the weakness of the empire. We don't have that weakness, so there seems to be a conscious decision. But let's back up just a second, Kim, and let's characterize this thing. You use the word invasion to describe what's going on. From my standpoint, that is to say from a constitutional standpoint, it doesn't matter what you and I call it. What matters is what the Constitution calls it. Because if it does qualify as an invasion under the Constitution, that permits states like Texas or Colorado, if it had the will, to undertake actions of their own. So one of the things I did several years ago when this first became an issue is started to investigate what the founders would have called this influx. Is it really an invasion, as the Constitution uses the term? And I did a very extensive analysis, which is part of an article that was recently published in an academic journal. And what I concluded is, yes, this is an invasion, as the Constitution uses the term. And I could give you many reasons for that, including definitions and dictionaries that were published at the time the Constitution was adopted. But probably the best example of this is the founders themselves referred to an influx that was peaceful but unauthorized as an invasion. In the years before the Constitution was adopted, masses of people from Connecticut moved into the Wyoming Valley of Pennsylvania in defiance of Pennsylvania authorities and against Pennsylvania law. Yet that was referred to as an invasion by Pennsylvania authorities and one of the greatest founders, Benjamin Franklin. So there is very compelling evidence, which the naysayers never refer to tell us that a mass invasion, even if it is peaceful, and this is not entirely peaceful because it's largely driven by criminal cartels, but even if it's entirely peaceful, if it's a mass unauthorized migration across the border, it qualifies as an invasion. Now, the constitutional significance of that is this. While the Constitution gives primary responsibility to Congress and to the federal government to deal with invasion and immigration and foreign affairs, it also gives concurrent responsibility to the states. Actually, it doesn't give it. It recognizes that the states as sovereigns have a concurrent responsibility to deal with invasion. And so when Texas says, you know, the federal government is not stopping an invasion, and therefore we need to respond to it ourselves with the National Guard and with the Texas Guard and with Texas police forces, that's absolutely correct. They have that responsibility and that obligation. So where we've gotten here is, number one, this is an invasion, as the Constitution uses the term. Number two, the Biden administration is shirking its clear constitutional responsibility to stem the invasion. And number three, that gives the states the power and the duty to step up and stem the invasion. And I'm very glad that Texas authorities are trying to do that.
Boy, it sure has taken a long time, though, Rob. We've had millions of people that are now in the United States illegally because of these policies.
The reason for that is that until our research was done, there was not a clear answer as to whether this qualified as an invasion and what states could do in this situation. This is essentially unprecedented. I mean, since Congress started passing immigration laws in the 19th century, we've never had a presidential administration that simply agreed to, you know, admit 10 million people into the country in defiance of those laws. I mean, this is truly an extraordinary situation. And so everybody's sort of been kind of feeling their way, you know, in the darkness. What do we do? How far can Texas authorities go? How far could Colorado authorities go? And what can we as members of the public do to What can we ask our elected officials to do? So there hasn't been a great deal of clarity. There are some law professors out there who are trying to muddy the waters, trying to claim it's not an invasion, that the Constitution clearly describes it as not an invasion. They're blowing smoke. They're absolutely blowing smoke. It is an invasion. The states have the obligation and the power to respond, and they need to do that.
So I guess we're getting to that point. What do we do, though, about all these people that are already here?
They have to be deported. I mean, the Eisenhower administration faced this at one point. The Eisenhower administration did mass deportations. I mean, it's not going to be pleasant, right? I mean, you don't want to forcibly move people across the border. Many will self-deport, as Mitt Romney once said. They've got to be deported. You've got the rule of law to defend, and the rule of law is basic to any country. It's basic to liberty. You can't have liberty without the rule of law, and you certainly can't have mass defiance of the rule of law by many state and city officials who call themselves, who label their jurisdictions sanctuary states or sanctuary cities. I mean, people talk about how awful nullification was. The southern slave states tried to nullify federal law. Well, at least the southern slave states had an argument that some federal actions were unconstitutional. I think they were wrong, but they had that argument. You've got now states and cities like Denver declaring themselves sanctuary jurisdictions and doing so in defiance of federal law that is clearly constitutional. I mean, this kind of lawlessness cannot proceed, because if it does, the republic's not going to survive, because it's not going to end here. I mean, other lawbreakers are going to seek inspiration, so to speak, from this kind of mass defiance of federal immigration law, and the whole system's going to break down. Again, we can look to the later Roman Empire as a historical example. Eventually, the load of non-Roman people entering the empire became so overwhelming that huge tracts of Roman territory were lost to Roman jurisdiction. That's what we call the breakup of the Western Roman Empire. We can't allow that to happen in the United States.
Boy, this is daunting. We're in such a dangerous time, Rob Nadelson. And you said something, and I want to go to break and come back and talk about rule of law, because that is something that is foundational. However, some of these laws, they're flouting at constitutional law, but then putting in place laws that are I think unconstitutional, outside the purveyance of what government should do. So we're going to talk with Rob Nadelson about that as well. So we'd get to do this because of our sponsors, and one of those is Karen Levine.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Would recommend that you go over to AmericanValueCenter.org and take a look at they have started this K-12 civics classes. And also they have a Medal of Honor module as well. And so they do two things. They have the Portraits of Valor, honoring many of our Medal of Honor recipients, but also all these educational programs regarding these foundational values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. The center is non-political. It's nonpartisan. They're just focused on these great principles. That website is AmericanValueCenter.org. So take a look at that. Rob Nadelson is on the line. He is a constitutional expert. He's had his work cited by many different courts all the way up to the Supreme Court. He is the author of The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant. And we're talking about some pieces that were initially published at the Epoch Times. You can find them at the Independence Institute's website now. So, Rob Nadelson, you used the word rule of law. And the important thing is that the laws that we make must be constitutional. And I think all the way from the local government all the way up to the federal government, based on these principles, principles in the Declaration that all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So even at the local level, if you're putting in a law that takes away the pursuit of happiness of someone else, so their right to have a business or something like that, I don't think that those are really considered law. So what do you think?
Well, before I'd like to answer that, before doing so, I think it's really important to issue several clarifications. Kim, we're not anti-immigrant, right?
Oh, yes, correct.
It's really important to say that. My mother was an immigrant to this country. On my father's side, both of his parents were immigrants to this country. Of course, they came legally, and they came consistently with the rule of law. Secondly, enforcing immigration law is not racist. Immigration law was reformed many years ago in order to eliminate what had been racist tendencies and to provide equal opportunity for people of all ethnic backgrounds, all races, to come to our country. So asking that the law be enforced is certainly not racist. And thirdly, there are probably listeners who responded to my comment about the Biden administration disregarding the law in a truly historic way by saying, why not impeachment? And there are two answers to that. Number one, with impeachment, you really have to prove commission of a crime. And by the way, what Biden is doing does not qualify as treason. And secondly, impeachment is a waste of time when you have a Senate that is controlled by Democrats. It's not going to vote for to impeach. I also allude to the Eisenhower deportations. The Eisenhower administration deported up to 1.3 million people. So mass deportations can be done, shouldn't be done cruelly or extrajudicially or illegally, but it has to be done to defend the rule of law. Rule of law is
a question. Question on that. I was not familiar with Eisenhower. Who were these people that were here, and how did they round them up and deport them?
I don't know the details of how they rounded them up, but they were primarily illegal immigrants from Mexico. You know, people overstayed their visa, came in rightfully, but overstayed their visa or snuck across the border. But the sheer scale of the deportations indicates that sort of thing can be done. As I said, it's distasteful, right? But it's necessary.
Okay.
Now, your point about what about a law that violates the pursuit of happiness is unconstitutional. One of the things, Kim, we have to keep in mind is that there's a difference between what we like and don't like and what is constitutional and not constitutional. So, for example, you know, I don't like laws that create so-called economic development programs. You've got the government favoring winners or losers. But those laws at the state and federal, state and local level are constitutional. The U.S. Constitution doesn't forbid them. There are all kinds of things that government does that are inadvisable or stupid or counterproductive that are not, therefore, unconstitutional. In order to better understand the distinction, let's think for a second of former President Trump's statement that he would not sign a national law banning abortion. This caused many pro-life people to be outraged. And I'm pro-life myself. I've been active in the pro-life movement for many, many years. But President Trump called that one right. Abortion is, under our constitutional system, a state issue. And it's profoundly hypocritical to say for decades that Roe versus Wade should be overturned because it shouldn't be a national issue. And then as soon as Roe versus Wade is overturned, start trying to make it a national issue again. And it's also politically counterproductive for reasons we can discuss. But my basic point is everything that we don't like is therefore not unconstitutional, and everything we like is not therefore mandated by the Constitution.
Okay, so just a quick question. Going back to economic development. I've looked at it. Now, you're the constitutional expert, but I've looked at it and said that this is, it's akin to picking winners and losers, that people are not treated equally under the law. So there's a law that's put in place, the taxes and all. And so, you know, person over here has to pay full fare. And then government says to this other business over here, oh, we want to have you here. And so therefore, you don't have to pay your full fare. And I feel that that is not treating people, entities, businesses equally. And so I've always thought that that was unconstitutional because it didn't treat everyone equally. And we're supposed to be equal in, with the vision of the Declaration.
Unfortunately, many, probably most laws don't treat people equally. What laws do is they define classes and they classes of people. And they say that people falling into this class have these are subject to these rules. People who fall into another class are subject to other rules. There is a provision in the Constitution, in the 14th Amendment, called the Equal Protection Clause that does protect against certain types of class legislation. But it is intended to be fairly narrow because otherwise you would have the judiciary essentially making all our laws. They would have a veto over almost any piece of legislation on the grounds that it treated some people unequally from others. Economic development laws are not only unfair for the reasons you stated, they're also stupid. They don't work. Laws that I'm reminded of how, you know, that what they'll do is they'll hand out a subsidy to a company and they'll say, the governor is at the, you know, announces that a big company has come to the state and is going to be hiring all these jobs, and this is the result of our economic development program. Well, when the company, after having accepted all the economic development benefits and tax credits and subsidies and so forth, when they quietly close down and move out of the state, the governor's
they don't say anything about that.
No, of course not. So they not only treat people unequally, but they're also stupid. But I'll tell you, based upon the history and the language of the Constitution, they're not unconstitutional.
Okay.
You could pass a state constitutional amendment declaring them unconstitutional, and I would favor that. But it doesn't. But they're not unconstitutional under the federal Constitution.
The other thing is, though, is we need to be electing representatives. I'm no longer calling them officials, but representatives that understand that their job is not to treat people, businesses unequally. So to your point, when government starts to put its finger on the lever of things, it doesn't work. Normally when government gets involved, quality goes down, supply right. can go down and things get more expensive. But let's continue on. I'm getting text messages. Go ahead.
Let me just suggest one thing. Electing representatives isn't going to work. On the current system, there are too many incentives for these handouts. The only thing that will stop it, say in Colorado, is a state constitutional amendment. By the way, the original state constitution has provisions that were designed to at least curb these kinds of programs. They were eventually gutted by the courts. They need to be renewed and strengthened. There needs to be a state constitutional amendment prohibiting these kinds of programs because, as I said, the incentives for any officials to do them are just too strong.
Okay. Okay, so now I'm getting messages from everyone, or, well, many listeners, I should say, that they want to talk about these anchor babies. How about let's do this? Let's go to break early, Rob, because once we get into this, that way we don't have to interrupt it. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors, and one of those is mortgage expert Lauren Levy.
The rise in interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren is not constrained to work with just one lender because he works with so many different lenders. Licensed in 49 states, Lauren offers choices for your individual mortgage needs. Preparation leads to success, so call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you're prepared for opportunity in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy, 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms is well-stocked and ready for you right now. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, and they're constantly bringing in new inventory of all the ammunition, firearms, and parts that you're looking for. Come down to buy or just to shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become the most proficient shooter you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, chances are they can find it for you. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. On the line with me is constitutional expert, and that is Rob Nadelson. We're talking about, he's written several different articles that were initially published at the Epoch Times. You can find them now at the Independence Institute regarding immigration. And the question on the table is regarding these children that are born in the United States to people that are here illegally. They're also known as anchor babies because they serve as an anchor for family members then to stay in the United States. So what's your thoughts on anchor babies, Rob Nadelson?
Well, aside from the merits, Kim, this is actually a fascinating subject. And the answer I found is not that clear. You have to dig for it. It's all tied up with the answer is all tied up with an old concept of English law called allegiance. Essentially, under the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, a child is born as a native-born citizen, natural-born citizen, if at the time the child is born, the parents are in allegiance to the United States. Now, that doesn't mean that parents have to be citizens. Somebody who was, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled many years ago, actually in the 19th century, correctly, that somebody who is legally in this country is in temporary allegiance to this country, and therefore a child born to that couple is a natural-born American citizen. The real difficulty that has not been resolved by the U.S. Supreme Court is whether a child born to an illegal alien, somebody who's not in this country legally, is a natural-born citizen. And that, in turn, depends on whether that person who is illegally in this country is in allegiance to the United States according to that technical legal concept. After wringing my hands over this question for several years, I investigated it thoroughly as part of our latest research article. I went back and, you know, read Latin passages from 17th century English cases, as well as a lot of more modern courts, to get an answer. And I became firmly convinced that if the parents are in this country illegally, they are not in allegiance to the United States, and therefore their children are not American citizens. Now, this is contrary to the official government policy, which is that if they're born in the United States, they're citizens. It's also contrary to a lot of propaganda you hear, including from some supposedly neutral websites. But when this case goes up to the United States Supreme Court, as it eventually will, this issue does, I think the United States Supreme Court, if it decides the case properly, will decide that the children of people in this country illegally are not citizens, precisely because the parents have broken laws to get here and to stay here, and therefore are not in allegiance technically to this country as that term is legally understood.
Okay. What about if someone is here legally? You'd mentioned like a Japanese tourist couple that they're in the United States. Yes. In your piece. What about that? They're here legally. So would they have temporary allegiance? Would that child be a citizen? What does that look like?
Yes. The way that's handled under traditional law is this way. We have a Japanese tourist couple. They come to this country legally. They just want to see the country. They've got passports and visas. They've got everything they need. And the woman becomes pregnant here and gives birth here. Under those circumstances, the analysis is as follows. As subjects of the Emperor of Japan, their primary allegiance is to Japan. However, when they came here, they agreed to be subject to our laws, and they are in what is called local allegiance or temporary allegiance to this country. And as such, they have the necessary allegiance so that their child is an American citizen. Again, you could argue that's a good result or a bad result. I'm not concerned with that. I'm telling you what the constitutional result is. The child is an American citizen by reason of the 14th Amendment.
Okay, what about using resources? When you mentioned that your family members immigrated to America, my relatives did as well. And I've mentioned it several times on the show, but the family story is that my maternal great-grandmother immigrated to the United States, and she worked basically as an indentured servant for a family in Omaha. They paid for her fare on the ship to come over, and then she worked that off for the family. And so there weren't these huge government programs where people would come over and they were then supported by the government. They were expected to work. Many times the sponsors they would guarantee if this person came over, many times family members, that these people would be self-sufficient. Let's put it that way. So when we have all these government programs, which is taking money from Americans or taking money because we're spending so much from our next generations to give money to people that are here illegally, you know, all of the I mean, that's a real problem, I think, Rob.
Yeah, it's a real problem. And from a constitutional standpoint, it's a problem under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. There has been a tendency both by the U.S. Supreme Court and by some state courts to say, oh, you know, everybody has to be eligible for these programs. I think that's wrong. I don't think that somebody who is here illegally has any constitutional entitlement to be supported by U.S. taxpayers. But that's less of an issue right now than the fact that our elected officials are shoveling out money to these people, you know, giving them benefits, essentially encouraging lawbreaking. That's contrary to the rule of law. That's got to stop. And that has to be handled, unfortunately, at the ballot box.
Okay. My next question is, the president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, and this is a good time to give a shout out to this amazing group of people. Since 1976, it's been all volunteers that watch legislation that affects taxpayers. And this board is Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Winnie Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. Thank you. We all owe them a debt of gratitude, and we'd love to have you join us. It's $25. Go to coloradotaxpayer.org, and you will. We had a little choke point. We're getting that figured out. You will receive the weekly email that we put together. But there is a piece of legislation going through the legislature right now, and I about fell off my chair when I read it. And it is that in Colorado, and I think we already do give driver's licenses for people that are here illegally, but this piece of legislation says that people that are not lawfully in the United States can get a Colorado ID. What do you think about that, Rob Nadelson?
Well, I mean, I think it's literally criminal. I think it's literally part of a conspiracy to facilitate breaking of the law. Now, as legislators, they're immune from prosecution for that sort of thing. But as I said, I think it's literally criminal. If it were done by, if a similar conspiracy to avoid the law were done by you and me, we would be prosecuted. As for driver's licenses, very few people know this, but I learned this in talking to insurance people. Colorado's decision to give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants is apparently a major reason why our automobile insurance rates are going up. What happens is you need liability insurance in order to get a driver's license. So the illegal alien purchases, you know, bargain basement liability insurance, gets the license, and lets the insurance lapse. If the illegal alien then gets in an automobile accident, there's no insurance company to go after. The illegal alien may very well just disappear, go back to his home country, or meld into the population. And so what happens is the insurance companies are left holding the bag for the damages caused by the illegal aliens. So you can thank the Montana legislature's decision to allow illegal aliens to have driver's licenses for the fact that Colorado insurance rates have been soaring.
That's such an important point, and I've talked with that with Roger Mangan, our sponsor, who has a State Farm agency. We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to make sure that you can button this up, but one of our listeners said that there's an air company that's contracted by the Department of Defense to deliberately fly illegals into our country. Is this not a treasonous act? What would you say to that?
No, it's not treason. Let me tell you why. There was a long history in Britain of treason charges being abused to attack enemies of the crown or other political dissidents. And so when the U.S. Constitution was being drafted, the founders made the very wise decision to actually define treason in the Constitution. They used a British statute as a model, but it was a very narrow British statute. And they did so deliberately to avoid a situation where political opposition somehow became treason. In order for an act to be treasonous. You either have to be warring against the United States, physically rebelling against the United States militarily, or giving aid and comfort to people who are engaged in military operations against the United States. It's a pretty narrow definition. We've tended to even narrow it further. I mean, you could argue that during the Vietnam War, Jane Fonda was guilty of treason, but she was never prosecuted for that. But it's a very narrow definition. It would not include the willful disregard of the law or facilitating of the violation of the law by the Biden administration and many others.
Okay. Rob Nadelson, first of all, thank you. We've got 1 minute. How would you like to button this up?
Well, first, I'd like to button it up by saying I just got back from Arkansas where I saw the total eclipse. I'd never seen an eclipse before, and it is absolutely amazing. It's an awe-inspiring experience, and I recommend if you get an opportunity to do so in the future, do so. If you'd like to know more about what I've written or read my stuff, you can get my book on the internet, The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant, from either BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. And everything else I write is at the Independence Institute website, independenceinstitute.org, on the Constitution page.
Well, Rob Nadelson, thank you so much. And a lot of great questions coming in from our listeners. So I'll try to talk about those in the second hour at the last segment. But Rob Nadelson, I thank you for your great work you know, sharing your knowledge with us. So thank you.
Thank you. You do great work as well. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And our quote for the end of the show is from Herbert Hoover. He said, "Freedom is the open window through which pours the sunlight of the human spirit and human dignity." So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. And stay tuned for hour number two.
Not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our bodies.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured and valued. You have purpose. So today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team I work with. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Pamela, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Thursday, producer Joe.
Happy Thursday, Kim.
And boy, great discussions. And Rob Nadelson always gets everybody thinking. So I thank him for that. He was our featured guest in the first hour. Big discussion with Ellen Danik here in the second hour. We will get to that in just a moment. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly emails newsletter. It goes out on Sundays. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays and podcasts. And let's see, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Text line is 720-605-0647. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we look at these things through the issue or through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And thank you to Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. Reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant power from oil, natural gas, and coal powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. And there is a real assault, regulatory as well as legislative, here on our oil and gas industry in Colorado. And Colorado is the petri dish for all this stuff that the radical activist left want to get through. They're flooding the zone on so many different issues. And let me just take a look at our Bill Track 50 to see how many Colorado bills have been proposed this particular legislative session. The session should be over at the, I think it's the second week in May. Okay, 720 bills have been introduced here in Colorado. Do we really need another law in Colorado? But 720, and as I say, they're flooding the zone. They're flooding the zone on firearm bills and making it more and more difficult for law-abiding citizens to keep and bear firearms. They're flooding the zone on land use, making it more difficult for people to own private property. They're flooding the zone with the transgender activist movement, the radical activist movement there. They're flooding the zone on trying to shut down our oil and gas industry. There's one other one. I can't remember what it is, but they're flooding the zone on so many different things. And it's real assault upon just our freedom, our liberty. Liberty is our responsible exercise of freedom. So, again, thank you to Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas for their sponsorship, because that that is what keeps us on the air, is all of their support, your support, so that we can look at these different issues. Our word of the day is dereliction. It could be willful neglect as of duty or principle, the act of abandonment, or a state of abandonment or neglect. Radical activist legislators that have taken over the Democrat Party down at the state legislature have a real dereliction in representing the people of Colorado. They're representing special interests and agendas instead of us, the people. Our quote for the today is from Herbert Hoover. He was an American politician and humanitarian, our 31st president. He was a member of the Republican Party and held office at the beginning of the Great Depression. And Great Depression was caused by government policy. He was born in 1874, died in 1964. He said, "Our strength lies in spiritual concepts. It lies in public sensitivities to evil. Our greatest danger is not from invading armies. Our dangers are that we may commit suicide from within by complacence with evil, or by public tolerance of scandalous behavior." And that's Herbert Hoover. Our bill of the day, House Bill 24-1434, prime sponsor, Representative Shannon Byrd, to expand the affordable housing tax credit. Remember, the real word for affordable is subsidize. So expanding the subsidized housing tax credit, which, again, this is an assault upon private property rights, government picking winners and losers. If taxes are too high, and they are, and somebody gets a tax credit for doing what the government wants, that's antithetical to what is supposed to happen in America. Lower taxes across the board. Let people make their own choices. And so, again, that is House Bill 24-1434. As I mentioned, I get to work with great sponsors. And one of those people, you know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. She has been a great sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. Way beyond the beginning of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Karen Levine. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
It was great to see you last night.
It was great to see you and all the ladies.
And as my friend, I have to say, you hold me accountable, and I love you for that.
Well, thank you, and I apologize.
You don't need to apologize. I got on a little monologue last night, and afterwards you said, you know, Kim, you might want to maybe rein that in a little bit, and you were absolutely correct. So, and I was the one that apologized to our guest, and our guest was really informative, and that was John Fabricatori, who is running for Congressional District 6. He's an expert on immigration. I learned a lot last night.
I learned a lot, and I think, you know, when we think about the agendas that you discuss on a daily basis and the lack of safety at our borders and the number of aliens, which is apparently the proper term, coming into our country, it's kind of scary, and it's overwhelming when you think about it, that we have not handled that issue very well as a nation because of those we have elected.
And that's true. And that's why elections are so important. And in Colorado, we've got to clean up these mail-in ballots that are flying everywhere, clean up the voter rolls, and then we have to be able to audit our elections, Karen. But that's not what we were going to talk about. We're going to
A little bit of faith here or there.
You got it. And I don't think that I've been doing things, you've been doing things, but something really amazing happened with you and your colleagues, and you received a great award.
Oh, Kim, you're so kind. We did. The DeVito Dreammakers received the number one award for number of transactions in the Metro Denver area in helping your listeners and my clients and customers and friends and family buy and sell real estate. And that was quite an honor. Typically, that award has in the past gone to a team in the Denver area as opposed to one of the suburbs. And DeVito Dreammakers is located in Arvada. And I've been serving Jefferson County, but the entire Front Range for, a couple, 3 decades?
it's been a while. This is really a big deal, particularly when we've got this housing market that can be challenging. And that is why it is so important to work with trusted people. And you and I have known each other for a long time. But I want to say congratulations, first of all. And then we are in the spring season, and people are buying and selling homes. What are you seeing out there?
Well, it's interesting. The Colorado Association of Realtors are going to put out their statistics for March, and total sales for March were down in the state of Colorado, and specifically along the Front Range, the Metro Denver area. And I wanted to understand why. And I think what we noticed is that inventory, as we continue to discuss, but we weren't getting as many homes, properties on the market, and affordability was a challenge. But in March, we had a lot of properties come on the market. So this was January, February. But on March, we started seeing spring happen. Spring, you know, was blooming, and we are getting homes on the market. And contracts, under contracts, pendings were up. So April closed transactions should look very strong, and that just says that the American people want to be homeowners and that us as professional realtors have the ability to help you do that and can do it successfully. And I had a new listing I promoted on the air last week with Brad, and we had multiple offers on that property over the weekend despite the 100-and-some-mile-an-hour winds.
Oh, my gosh. And I was out of town for all that. But I did hear, yeah, those winds were pretty remarkable. Karen, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and I think we talked about it, was over the years, there's been this narrative about urban sprawl. And I've always, when I see a new development, I look at it and I think, oh, my gosh, this is people that are having home ownership. I've always looked at it as a beautiful thing. But I think it's been used to push public policy to try to put people into denser housing, apartments, those things. But what I realized, and when I been out to Hugo for that vacancy committee meeting and coming back, I saw it was late at night. I saw all these red lights on all of the wind turbines out there. And I'm like, Wait a minute. They didn't like the vision of urban sprawl, but seemed to have no problem with fields and fields of solar panels and wind farms. And I thought, huh, I any comments on that? Or you can just let that be if you want. But I thought it's in the beholder, I guess.
Right. And I think it's, you know, it's processing this journey, Kim, which is when you are pushing people into denser housing for the result of your agenda, which is alternative energy, and we have enough natural gas on this earth and natural gas in our state to keep us comfortable and to provide us the amenities and the heat and et cetera, et cetera. Again, it's an agenda item, and it's the government are buying up land, and they're seducing property owners, and unfairly, because they're not presenting it to the marketplace in most cases, I'm guessing. But I think, again, another journey, another door opened of how we have been sold on a lot of things that aren't good for our state, our communities, and our nation.
Well, and I feel people are waking up, and that's why we do the show. And I so thank you for your sponsorship on this. And again, congratulations to DeVito Dreammakers for being, do I say the number one in transactions in the metro area last year? Is that the correct?
That is correct. So the cool thing is we helped more people. And that's our goal, is to be able to help people be property owners, homeowners, investment property owners, and to help them fulfill their real estate dreams.
And I so appreciate that. So if people want to buy a home, sell a home, or investment properties, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
And that is Karen Levine, 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too, Kim. Thank you.
And another great sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Roger's been in business for 47 years, taking care of his clients, his family, giving back to the community. They can create personalized insurance plans for, you know, really anything that you need. They carry my home and auto. And so for a complimentary appointment, reach out to them at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Insurance Team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this, I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim at kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm really pleased to have on the line with me Ellen Danick, and she is with DIMS for Informed Approach, and she was a guest a few weeks ago, briefly. It was one of those kind of round robin on a number of different guests regarding this transgender activist movement. And she's gotten herself, I guess, into a little trouble, you might say. It's this is from Colorado Politics. It said Colorado Democrat Party demands name change from group that says gender affirming care is dangerous. Ellen Danik, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. I'm glad to talk to you again.
So a lot has happened since you were last on. But first of all, for people that might not have heard that show, tell us your journey to get to Democrats for an informed approach to gender.
Sure. So a couple years ago, I had two things happen that got my attention. I'm a lifelong Democrat and a lifelong what I would call classical small L liberal. But as part of that, I had looked at hearing about trans rights as an extension of equal rights and equal protection under the law for any group of people. So whether it was Black people, gay people, women, it was just an extension of that. But a couple of things occurred that caused me to reconsider my view. One of them was being told by someone that they had abandoned Harry Potter because J.K. Rowling was a big transphobe. And I heard that the way you would hear bigot or racist. And that was a very serious accusation. And I thought, well, what's wrong with this woman? What's happened to her? And around the same time, I noticed a news story that said that an attorney with the ACLU had called for a book to be banned. And I thought, that's not what we do. That's not what the ACLU does. They don't ban books. They protect people whose books are being banned. Well, of course, the book turned out to be Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage, about the spike in rapid onset gender dysphoria in teenage girls and the medicalization creating lifelong harm that was occurring in that patient population. And then I went and read what J.K. Rowling had to say, and she had raised some serious concerns about the way that the trans activist or the gender ideology movement was demanding special rights at the expense of other people, particularly women and particularly children. And once I realized what the real situation was, I thought, well, I would like to take some action on this. I'd like to do something incremental to make a difference in the area where I live. And I live here in Denver. And so one of the things I did was take a look at the legislation moving through the legislature. As I don't have to tell you, when the legislature comes into session in early January for 4 months, there's just a deluge of bills on all sorts of topics. And because the Democrats have a supermajority in the House due to redistricting, and because they are being pushed by a number of members of the Democratic Socialists of America, several of whom have been appointed to fill vacancies. They weren't even elected. They're pushing multiple pretty extreme bills advancing transgender ideology at the expense of other groups of people. And I thought, well, I'd like to weigh in. And so I decided to go testify on the bill. And concurrent with that, this new group that you mentioned, which I'm very supportive of, Democrats for an Informed Approach to Gender, DIAG, got started. And while I'm not here on the show today representing them, I'm representing myself, talking to you about what's going on in Colorado, I am very supportive of this group because it's a group of Democrats who are very concerned about the fact that the Democratic Party has abandoned liberal principles, given up basically on evidence-based medicine, and is doing everything it can to shut down any dissent around the topic of gender. And that's what we're seeing happen in Colorado right now. And that's what's covered in the article that you mentioned.
It is absolutely stunning, the shutting down of voices. And you mentioned book bans. And I agree with you. I do not like, I don't think we should be banning books. There is this however, and one of our listeners and actually a number of people I know up in northern Colorado have been shedding light on books that are in our school libraries that are, again, pushing this this agenda there. I mean, they're almost pornographic. And so while I don't believe in book banning, I also don't believe children should be exposed to that. What's your thoughts on that, Ellen Danik?
So, Kim, I'm so glad you raised that point, because I think this is a concrete example of how nuance is very important in understanding the impact of this issue. I think most reasonable people, whether they're parents or not, would say that banning books and restricting the adult population from being able to buy or even read certain books is a very different thing from exercising good judgment about what material is age appropriate for children. And I think that that judgment can be applied in a whole host of areas. And the one that you're talking about is these books that are attempting to, and here's the thing, it's hard to talk about crazy stuff without also sounding crazy, but I'm going to forge ahead.
Okay.
These books that are attempting to indoctrinate children into this gender identity ideology through, as you said, exposure to pornographic material, but also through repeated messaging that little bitty kids can be born in the wrong body. And the way to address that is medical treatment that can lead to a host of lifetime effects and even surgical treatment. You know, it would have been inconceivable to me 2 years ago if you had said, there are not just parents, there are not just teachers and school counselors, but there are pediatricians who will tell you that when a one-year-old girl rips the barrettes out of her hair, she is telling you that she thinks she's a boy. You and I, Kim, would look at that and say, I don't know, perhaps that little one-year-old thinks the barrettes are cold. Maybe they're hard. Maybe they pinch. There are a whole lot of reasons a little girl might rip barrettes out of her hair at age one. But announcing through some sort of tacit signaling that she's actually a boy and needs to be put on a path for puberty blockers eventually, cross-sex hormones, maybe even surgery, that at best will leave her a lifelong medical patient, best case. At worst, will leave her with a host of crushing medical side effects, infertility, and a reduced ability to find a mate because she may never be able to experience sexual pleasure. Like, that is a crazy thing to assert for a one-year-old. But if you believe that's the case, then it's not that big a leap to think that it's fine to indoctrinate children on this path under the guise of affirming them finding their own identity via this material in schools. And I think it's a fallacy for people to call restricting extreme material for little kids in school the same thing as book banning. I just don't think those are equivalent actions.
I really appreciate you addressing that because that is what is happening. And my father passed on in early December, but he always said to me, be careful what you look at, what you listen to, what you read, because many times those images are so embedded that you don't forget those. So let's think about young children having a book with pornographic images in it. And I've seen some of the images. And again, they're embedded in my brain. And here I am, you know, at this age. And there's something that the evilness of that, embedding those images in little kids' minds is so, I think it's so wrong, Ellen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kim. And here's the thing that that concerns me concurrently with that. One is that the messaging along with those images is you're born in the wrong body and you're going to require significant and drastic and harmful medical interventions to address that. And the thing about little kids is if you tell them as an adult they trust, you're born in the wrong body, you're going to need medical intervention, they're going to believe you because they're children. They're going to believe what you say. So then you add that on with disturbing pornographic images that kids are nowhere near ready to understand or take in, and you create a horrible situation. You create a situation where you have a child that's not just vulnerable to this medicalization path for quote-unquote gender-affirming care, which I don't think any of that is accurate in that language. But, you know, research shows that children that are exposed to pornography very young are much more vulnerable to sexual abuse from adults because they've already been trained to accept it.
Oh, Ellen Danick, this is you're getting right to the crux of this whole issue. And I so appreciate you for doing that. We're going to continue the discussion with Ellen. We get to have all these discussions because of our great sponsors. And one of those is Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef.
Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
The rise in interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren is not constrained to work with just one lender because he works with so many different lenders. Licensed in 49 states, Lauren offers choices for your individual mortgage needs. Preparation leads to success, so call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you're prepared for opportunity in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy, 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you don't have to force people to do it. On the line with me is Ellen Danick, and we're talking about this brouhaha, I guess, if you will, regarding both the Colorado Democrat Party and the Democrat Party of Denver are demanding that the Democrats for an informed approach to gender can no longer use the word Democrat. This is certainly looks to me like an assault upon freedom of speech. What do you think, Ellen? Where are you at on all this?
Well, so you're correct, Kim. It is an assault on the freedom of speech. So the Denver Democratic Party, as well as James Reyes, the chair, and the Colorado Democratic Party, as well as Shad Mareeb, the president, on Friday issued statements demanding that Democrats for an informed approach to gender, a group I support, abandon use of the name Democrats in their name, which, if it weren't so chilling, would be almost adorable that they think they have the power to do that. Concurrent with that, Adrian Felix, who is a man who is an official within the Democratic Party of Denver, posted an open letter calling for the Democrats for an informed approach to gender to stop using the word Democrats, as well as to purge me, Ellen Danick, a noted transphobe and bigot, these are the things he said, from the Democratic Party for crimes including violent threats against trans Coloradans, which I will point out to you is something I have never done. 25 elected officials and former elected officials are now signatories to this document, including several current members of the House and Senate here in Colorado, Lisa Cutter, Lorena Garcia, Leslie Herod, and of course, Brianna Titone. Again, if it weren't so dystopian and creepy and such an assault on citizens' ability to speak honestly and truthfully about what's going on in the legislature, it would almost be funny, Kim.
Well, it's not funny. I didn't realize that they were calling you out in particular. And you mentioned J.K. Rowling in the previous segment. And I have found this so stunning because Scotland apparently has passed a law that you can't that you have to affirm that those that are talking about, you know, trans women. So it's men that want to compete in women's sports, or if you don't affirm that whole agenda. And she's basically thrown down the gauntlet and she said, well, arrest me. And now, as Scotland police have said, you know, her response to this is just wasting time, and that they said that they would not arrest her. And she said, well, if you arrest anybody else, I'm going to stand with them. And I am just, I'm thrilled that she is taking this stand, but here we have our own, right here in our own community. I did not know that there was this letter calling you out with all these people signing it.
Yeah, so J.K. Rowling, I agree, is behaving in, I mean, it may not be the proper use of the word, but she may be the most chivalrous woman I've ever seen, because what she has said when that hate law went into effect April 1st was, any woman who has the gall to say that a man who pretends to be a woman is a man, I will also say that same thing. And then if the Scottish police are going to enforce the law equally, they will have to arrest me too, which I think is fantastic. Here in Colorado, we may not have an official hate speech law, but what we do have is a supermajority in the House and a majority in the Senate with the Democrats prohibiting speech in those chambers. So Christina Gokey from Rocky Mountain Women's Network, who I've testified with against House Bill 24-1071, Tiara's Law, which, by the way, is on Governor Polis' desk awaiting his signature. Christina has been ejected from a House committee and been gaveled out and had her time run down and her testimony removed from the official audio record for the following crime, Kim. When speaking about a bill called Tiara's Law, inspired by a man named Wayne, who's a criminal with a criminal record, she said, this bill is inspired by a man named Wayne with a criminal record. And that is forbidden because you cannot dead name. He goes by Tiara now, not Dwayne. You can't misgender. She correctly sexed him as a man. That's forbidden. And you can't mention an individual's criminal record. It is not Scotland, but we're heading there.
So what's going to happen? What's the next steps for you and Democrats for Informed Approach?
Well, so the Democrats for an Informed Approach to Gender, DIAG, issued a statement. They rallied quickly and told the Democratic Party of Colorado and the Denver Democratic Party, along with their leaders, how proud we felt the Kremlin would be with their response to this situation. Wow. Because, you know, they're threatening to stick something called the Central Committee on DIAG. Okay. So we're not intimidated by this. I will speak here for DIAG, although I'm not doing that generally in this interview. For my part, I am just trying to make a difference where I can. As you know, I run a legislation tracker so that people can keep track of bills moving through the legislature that implement gender identity ideology. And then I have templates for testimony so that if folks are moved to try to testify in committee, they have some resources to do that. Furthermore, I am not leaving the Democratic Party. The Democrats on Friday shut me out of the Slack channel for precinct officers. I'm a Democratic Party precinct officer in Denver, or I was as of Friday. I've had no notice. I assume they've implemented some sort of a fiat to push me out of that position. But I'm going to make them follow the bylaws, and I am not going to go quietly, Kim. I am not going to abandon this party that I've supported my whole life to a bunch of fringe elements who are out of control and drunk on power, who think that the authoritarian and liberal left can just put their boot on the neck of any citizen and shut them down through sheer intimidation. No, that's not okay. And so I've dug my heels in, and I'm going to call as much attention to this as possible and make people aware, because the thing is, all of this thrives in secrecy. If you shine a light on it,
yes,
most normal people, including most regular Democrats, have the same reaction. What? That's insane. That doesn't represent my values. I want to do something about that. So all you have to do is tell people. And that's why I'm really happy you invited me here to talk about this today.
Well, Ellen, and this is one of the things that I say on a regular basis, because I have a lot of friends that are Democrats over the years. As I saw the Democrat Party move farther and farther to the fringe, to the extreme fringe, I realized that this Democrat Party, particularly here in Colorado, is no longer the party of JFK. It's something totally different. And we need to be presenting candidates that represent the people. I mean, you can also see on the Republican side where there are people that get drunk with power. And we need to, on you know, both parties, all parties, we need to be electing representatives that are representing the people, that are not representing government. I served on city council for 4 years, 2012 to 2016, in Lone Tree. And what I would see is well-meaning people run for office. They get into office. They go to the retreats for whatever the entity is. Staff comes in, and all of a sudden, these representatives think that they are representing the jurisdiction instead of the people. They think they are supposed to drive revenue, tax revenue for the jurisdiction, instead of working to represent the people and let the people have more of their money in their own pocket. So it does happen on both sides of the aisle. But this Democrat Party in Colorado, it's fringe now. It's scary.
Well said, Kim. And it's particularly scary because it's not just elected officials within the Democratic Party who are doing this, which is bad enough. But a number of these individuals, like my own state rep, Tim Hernandez in HD4, not elected. He was appointed by the Democratic Party Vacancy Committee to fill a vacancy when the previous rep ran for and won a different office. So he's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. Just yesterday, he spent time in the House advocating for his Chicano Power license plate. Now, look, I don't have a problem with special interest license plates, but if you haven't looked at it, Kim, I would urge you to take a look at this plate. It implements Marxist ideology. The roses, the fists, it's so over the top. This is what he's spending his time doing. He's an appointed member of the Democratic Socialists of America who is advancing Marxist ideology on license plates because he can. And that's worrying to me. As a Democrat, I see this as a Democrat.
So within your circle of friends and colleagues, are you seeing everyday people, everyday Democrats waking up to see what's happening down at the legislature? And, you know, what's your finger on the pulse on that?
So people are less interested in the specifics of what's going on in the legislature, but they are interested in it as a concrete example of this broader pull to the left by a small group of very, very vocal people. It's a tiny group of people, but they're super loud, so they look bigger than they are. And yes, normal, regular Democrats are concerned about that. With me, the way that it typically comes up is through the lens of gender identity ideology, because once I decided last year what I thought about this topic, I felt motivated to take action, whether it was incrementally through opposing legislation or through having conversations with people that might be a little uncomfortable. And, you know, if people don't want to talk about it, I respect their boundaries. But raising the issue and saying, have you thought about the effect of putting men who claim to be women in women's prisons with these vulnerable women? Let's talk about this. And when I talk to normal, regular, everyday Democrats about it, usually they haven't thought about this topic because they're busy living their personal and professional lives. But once they do, they're pretty unhappy and they want to take action.
Okay. Now, you said that you have a website that's or that you're tracking all of these trans bills. Where can people find that, Ellen Danik?
It's in the link of my bio on Twitter. And my handle on Twitter is my first initial and my last name, E. Danik. So E-D-A-E-H-N-I-C-K. And if you go there, you'll see a link to the Google Drive, which has all those resources, the legislation tracker, a directory of reps and senators, all of the templates for testimony. Or if people want to email me, they can email me at genderwatchco, for Gender Watch Colorado, genderwatchco@gmail.com.
Okay. One other question. Are you seeing anything in other states of what you're doing here in Colorado?
Oh, absolutely. This is going on nationwide. It's one of the things that DIAG as a group is particularly interested in, is the complete rollout of gender identity driven ideology in blue states from coast to coast. And here's the thing, Ken. A lot of times the gender bills get pushed through because they're stitched together with other things that Democrats support, like, for example, protecting access to abortion. And then the people advancing the legislation only talk about the abortion portion of the bill, not the fact that, for example, it enshrines in law the right for doctors to medically alter kids under 18 who express gender distress. So, yes, it is going on and we're tracking it.
Well, Ellen Danik, we have to stay in touch, and this is really courageous what you're doing, and I think you and I agree on lots of different things, probably just a whole lot of different things. I think we agree on freedom, and I have a lot of libertarian tendencies, I think, as well. So anyway, Ellen, let's stay in touch, and thank you.
Thanks, Kim. It's a real pleasure to talk to you today.
Well, keep it up. And this is liberty. We need to stand for liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. And we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is John Boson.
A recent report notes that the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder is consistently and dramatically increasing. This is heartbreaking. If your child or grandchild or someone you know has been diagnosed with autism or ADHD following exposure to Tylenol or acetaminophen during pregnancy, call Boson Law at 303-999-9999. Boson Law is a Colorado-based law firm who has been fighting Big Pharma for over 20 years. Call now at 303-999-9999 for a free, no-obligation review of your potential claim. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms is well-stocked and ready for you right now. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, and they're constantly bringing in new inventory of all the ammunition, firearms, and parts that you're looking for. Come down to buy or just to shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become the most proficient shooter you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, chances are they can find it for you. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I did want to mention Janssen Photography, and I'm over on their website right now. It's JanssenPhotography.com. That's J-A-N-S-S-E-N Photography. And just looking at these amazing portraits of children. There's one right here of a little girl in a like a little washtub, and then these beautiful senior portraits. And just they have such a beautiful property there in Lakewood. And these are truly, truly memories. And so take a look at their website and set up an appointment for a family portrait or children, your senior student. And they do these great headshots as well to open that door for your political or business career. That's JanssenPhotography.com. Give us a call, 303-477-5600. The text line is 720-605-0647. And then the two nonprofits that I highlight on the show on a regular basis. The first is the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are organizing their golf tournament, which is going to be in mid-May, which is right around the corner as fast as time is going. And it will be at the Ridge in Castle Pines North. And in conjunction with NFL alumni. And so it's going to be a great time. You can be just an individual golfer, or you can put together your foursome. More information, go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And then also the Center for American Values, located in Pueblo on the Riverwalk, really should be on your bucket list to take the kids down there this summer to see their portraits of valor. The center is open 7 days a week. You can check the hours on their website. And just, you might give them a call before you head down, because sometimes they do have some private events. But again, that is Center for American Values, and the website is AmericanValueCenter.org. I do want to hear from you. And so I'm going to go through some of these text messages. First one, Pam says, Ellen is a great guest. We need more like her, and also those who are also unaffiliated. She is a great guest. Next thing, from one of our listeners, Connie said this: while she was in a bank, a Venezuelan man was attempting to open a bank account. The bank asked for a passport or driver's license. He said he did not have either. Upon leaving, she saw the Venezuelan man drive away in a car without a license plate. And this is one of the reasons why our insurance rates are going up, is because of these illegal aliens that are coming into our country, and they're driving around. Another comment from one of our listeners: that there's always been a body of law that applies to children, and it's called wisdom. And that's, in response to Ellen and I talking about the term book banning when we want to keep pornographic material out of our schools and our school libraries. And Ellen talked about rights, trans rights. And again, they said, like I always say, and it's true, you can't have equal rights if you're peeling out special rights for different groups, whether or not it's women, gays, this whole transgender movement. You can't have equal rights. And we need to make sure that we have equal rights, that each of us are equal under the law. And the vision of the Declaration, that we're all created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is the vision of America. That's what makes America great. And we've had people that are legislators and bureaucrats, PBIs, that just on a direct, directly are, it's a direct assault upon our Declaration of Independence. Another listener said, never forget, the real agenda is always power and control. Oh, they don't really care about sprawl. That was in my commentary with Karen Levine. And it's absolutely true. All of this is about control. So if you control the water, you control the people. So we look at all of this instead of good water management, conservation. And we should be, you know, we should certainly be good stewards of the earth, but they want to control water. They want to control land use, want to control our food source. All of this is about control. So you're absolutely right on that. Okay. Let's see. Next one. Let me get to. As to Colorado giving illegals driver's licenses, and then they get really bad insurance and some don't get any, why can't the insurance companies, which I'm sure have lobbyists lobby, that they have to have a certain degree of insurance, why don't we see the insurance companies doing this? That's a really excellent point. And what we really, I think, need to be happening is all of these different businesses that are so affected, they offer the service, for example, of insurance, but they need to, I think their lobbyists need to be working on this whole illegal immigration issue and recommending that we get rid of these sanctuary cities. And we need to have a mass deportation. And I was not aware that under Eisenhower that had actually occurred. And so I guess we could do it. I need to do more research under that. So Rob Nadelson and I were talking about treason. And one of our listeners says that we are not the United Kingdom, but they, under corporate rulers still, okay, is war. And, okay, it's harming us, okay. Let's see. Next thing. Okay. One of our listeners said that all of this is fruits of the poisonous tree of legal doctrine. That's interesting. And let's see what else. Love to hear from you. Oh, another listener said, cut off their money supply and say there's no more free lunch. They need to go back to their country of origin. This has all been set up by cartels in conjunction with, well, we do know, NGOs. And also the United Nations is involved in this. And so this is really designed to be a takedown of America and the American idea. And I know so many people don't realize that we are in such danger with all that's going on. But that goes back to our quote by Herbert Hoover, which I will share with you one more time. And that is our, hold on. That's not the one that I wanted. I guess it was the other. No, here we go. Our strength lies in, this is Herbert Hoover. Our strength lies in spiritual concepts. It lies in public sensitivities to evil. Our greatest danger is not from invading armies. Our dangers are that we may commit suicide from within by complacence with evil or by public tolerance of scandalous behavior. And I selected that quote because I knew that Ellen Danik was going to be on the show. And we cannot stand by and let this occur regarding our children. And I also, I mean, the idea that men are playing in women's sports or that men can go into, like she said, a women's prison. And I saw a headline recently where a woman was raped by a man that was put into the women's prison because he said he identified as a woman. Clearly he didn't. And we must protect women and children from this craziness and also protect our young men as well. So it is a complacence with evil if we let this continue, and a public tolerance of scandalous behavior, to tolerate that we would have pornographic material in our school libraries or in our children's sections in our libraries is scandalous. And I so appreciate so many of you. Gammy certainly has been one of those that has been on the front lines down in the Colorado Springs area on this. And then Kane and all the work that they're doing up in Northern Colorado. Of course, Lori Gimmelstein and her group, Colorado Parents Advocacy Network, Rich Guggenheim, Gays Against Groomers, doing great work. Kevin Lundberg with Protect the Kids, Greg Lopez and Lisa Lopez are very involved with that as well. And they're getting stymied. They're trying to get some issues onto the ballots for people to vote on regarding not having men, boys in girl sports. And they're getting stymied down at the title board, which has become so political as well. So we've got Yvonne on the line. Yvonne, what is on your radar?
Hi, Kim. Good morning. And, you know, your speaker from the first hour, sorry I don't have his name, was really good in talking, dissecting the Constitution and talking about the things that were right or wrong or whatever, irrespective of whether we like them or not. And I wanted to further explain that fruits of the poisonous tree thing is if somebody robs a jewelry store and then goes and sells that jewelry, and that jewelry is identified as something that was stolen, and you perhaps purchased it from somebody without realizing that it was stolen, you're going to be out because they're going to come and they're going to take that because you bought it, a stolen item, whether or not you knew that. But you don't get to keep it, and it all gets, you know, it's all evidence and it all gets picked up. And so that way there's no incentive for people to go break into jewelry stores or anything else or steal bikes and then sell the bike, and then people just get to keep it. So if it's found that it's stolen, it's taken back and you're simply out of it. Well, that whole birthright citizenship, the anchor baby thing or whatever you want to call it, functions or should function the same way according to Constitution. This is not my opinion or whether I like it or I don't like it. If you came in here illegally and then are trying to get citizenship for your progeny via the original crime of being here in an illegal fashion, any gains you have from that are also not for you or for your progeny under the same concept.
Oh, Yvonne, that is so enlightening. And we're out of time. I'd like to continue the discussion on that. But thank you for calling in on that. And our quote for the end of the show is Herbert Hoover. He said, freedom is the open window through which pours the sunlight of the human spirit and human dignity. So, my friends, God bless you and God bless America.
Of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.